This is Chief of Anything, created by Christian Kohlhoff and Michael Portz. Our podcasts serve the purpose of growing people skills for great success, excellent business results, and a happy, healthy people culture.
If this podcast is useful for you, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. We love to hear from you, and we are always happy to learn how we can help teams achieve great success or overcome people pains. All contact details are in the show notes. Much success.
Conversation 2. Positive language. Leadership linguistics.
Hello, Michael. How are you today?
Fantastic. Preferably. It's a choice.
Happiness is a decision.
And I make this decision gladly.
Let's talk about language and linguistics, about leadership linguistics, positive language.
Positive language, one of my favorite topics.
Okay, let's start. Let me tell you what you shouldn't think about right now. Don't think about a blue elephant. And are you seeing a blue elephant?
Yeah, of course.
You are, in fact, a very visual type.
Yes, he looks a lot like the elephant in the TV show, The Show with the Mouse.
For the auditory types, don't think about the noise of an ambulance in action. What did you hear?
Sirens.
With the next example, I get almost everyone. Please do not think about the feeling when you scratch over a chalkboard with long fingernails.
Stop it. I have goosebumps.
Our brain is simply not made for not thinking. When I tell you not to think about a blue elephant, you cross out the don't and think about a blue elephant. I can also use this technique when communicating with employees. We call this leadership linguistics.
Cool. How do I do that?
Let me show you. It's very simple. Just tell your counterpart what you want. I will give you an example. One of your employees is always late for a meeting. You're Michael, my boss. I'm Christian. I'm always late for the meeting. Now, give me a talk on this.
A real talk or a not-so-real talk?
Not-so-real talk, like you might have done before you knew this technique.
Based on the examples, elephant, sirens, and chalkboard, I would say, hey, Christian, you came late this morning. I noticed that you were also late last week. You're actually late very often. Why is that? Please don't be late.
When you say, I don't want you to be late, all my brain memorizes is to be late. You've now said that I am late 4 times, and that's exactly what I remember.
What will happen in the future?
I'll most likely be late again. Instead of telling your employee what he did wrong, it's much easier to say what you expect. Hello, Michael. From now on, I want you to be on time for the meeting, on time to the minute, or even earlier. Suddenly, I make a positive statement. I said what I want to have and not what I don't want to have. This will make it easier for you to be on time. When I order something in a burger store, I say, I want a burger. I don't say, I'm not having salad today.
It would be better for my slim shape. Anyway, I got it.
I don't know what I'll get when I say I don't want a salad. I don't want a salad and I don't want a Coke. That's nonsense.
The poor employee behind the counter. He'll go crazy.
That's why I say I want a burger.
So a good way to order at the burger store is, hi, I'd like a burger without cheese, with additional bacon, fries, a large Diet Coke, and 2 packets of ketchup.
Transferred to our example, this would go something like this. Michael, I want you to arrive on time for the meeting. Be there 5 minutes before. Be prepared and be in a good mood.
Why is it so easy for me in the burger store to make it clear what I want, and so difficult to give directions to an employee?
I don't know why it's so difficult for you. Or rather, why it was so difficult for you in the past. We can try some other things you can do with positive language, with leadership linguistics. Have you ever heard of modal operators?
Yes.
Modal operators are very nice. So I say, Michael, you must be on time for the meeting, please.
That must puts me right on the edge.
Okay. Then I say, you should come to the meeting on time, please.
That feels a little better, although still difficult.
How's this? Michael, from now on, you may be on time for the meeting. How's that feel?
Very different. When I hear, from now on, you may always come to the meeting on time, there's a lot in it. From now on and always on time is very clear. and I can almost smirk at this one little word, may. I can't take it seriously enough to get annoyed about it, and at the same time I hear a very clear request, so I know exactly what I may do.
I could also say, from now on you can always be on time for the meeting. If this employee repeats this sentence in his mind, it's like a little affirmation. Hey, I can be on time. A lot happens in the subconscious. It's almost like a kind of hypnotic command that I give. The challenge is that every person reacts individually to the different modal operators. One modal operator can have a particularly positive effect on one person, while a coworker may develop an aversion to it.
Again, for clarification, the words must, may, shall, and can are all modal operators?
Right. And some others like might and should. The worst use case is in one should do.
One more thing. Who is this one?
If you still use one, you've immediately disassociated yourself. That is, you've put yourself in the position of an outside observer. A completely wrong statement would be, for example, in our company, one should arrive on time for the meeting. That doesn't concern me personally, and the subjunctive makes it sound more like, it would be quite nice if, and if shall is not the modal operator the employee likes to hear. The statement falls flat completely.
I'm tempted to repeat that now and give you another statement with should, might, one, and so on. Instead, I'll refrain from doing so, because I don't want to put these examples into the listener's head. That's the big trick. In conversations with coaches and with people in leadership roles, this challenge is often the topic of discussion. In a leadership role, I only want to put into people's minds what I want them to have there. Put in other words, it's what I expect from them, not what I do not expect from them. I may have to repeat this more often. Maybe it takes a little time to sink in. If, on the other hand, I repeat exactly what I don't expect from them, I help them very successfully to fail, and thus sabotage myself.
Definitely. Is this manipulation?
This is influencing. I get this question asked a lot. Aren't these tricks manipulation? I believe in freedom of will, and that every person is free to make decisions. I believe that I can convince better with careful phrasing. Without careful phrasing, I can even end up achieving exactly the opposite of what I intended. The goal of management is to achieve results and retain employees. If I want to achieve these goals, it's actually necessary to choose the right phrasing. When asking about manipulation, I like to draw a comparison to Star Wars. I apologize to those who are now rolling their eyes. Those famous phrases from the film when difficulties arise, "Use the Force, Luke," and "May the Force be with you." So I can either use the Force, the skills I know and master, for the good side and be Luke Skywalker, who brings light into the world and saves the universe. Or I use them for the dark side as Darth Vader and try to destroy everything. In the end, it's not the method that makes the manipulation, but the motivation of the person who uses it.
I'll again interject the quote from Watzlawick, who said, "I cannot not communicate." That is, even if I communicate badly and unconsciously, I communicate.
Then it's unconscious manipulation. That is, I unintentionally go wild with my way of communicating and get a random result.
This is really unfair to the employee, because he can't know where he's at.
I cannot not communicate, positively rephrased, means that I always communicate.
Another quotation that fits well is, "Communication is what the listener does." This means that I can carefully ensure that what the employee receives is what I want to express. It means that I can also adapt myself, my language, and my way of communicating to the employee. It's therefore important to find out which employees I can talk to, and how to do so in a way that garners understanding. That brings us to the topic of personality types. I adapt to my counterpart. I go out of my comfort zone. And it's the same with modal operators.
The receiver is always right. Even more blatant, the result of any communication is its intention. Learning this and accepting so much responsibility in my communication was a big challenge for me at the beginning. The saying suggests that the receiver of a message is always right. For me as a boss, this means that when I give direction or communicate something, what resonates with the other person in his universe is the deciding factor. So the recipient is always right. the entire responsibility for achieving my desired result lies with me. So if the recipient understands something other than what I intended, I am obliged to adapt. I then may express myself differently in order to achieve the result I want. This has helped me immensely. I have learned to refrain from statements such as, "I told you this yesterday," and "we have already talked about that." You probably remember a few of these too.
"I've told you that 10 times now."
Yes, exactly. I'm not getting anywhere with this, except that the relationship gets worse. As a manager, I always have the opportunity to adjust my communication so that what reaches my counterpart is what should reach him.
And if I've said the same thing 10 times and it still hasn't gotten through, then I just say it louder. The person will understand it at some point. Additionally, there are of course some hidden nothings in the language, like "no blue elephant." And there's the beautiful word "but," which works like a not operator, or better yet, like a delete key.
I don't even know the word "but" anymore. I crossed it out at some point and completely banned it from my vocabulary.
Then, from now on, we'll remove it as well.
You mean that word that is spelled B-U-T. It was very difficult for me to omit this word and delete it from my vocabulary. I've been going through life much more pleasantly ever since.
I've noticed that my conversation partners often falter in the process. For example, when someone makes a thesis such as, "Michael, you always wear those nice white shirts and they look very good on you." This has a completely different effect and meaning than when I say, "Michael, you look good in those nice white shirts, but you always wear them." This word just erases everything that happened before that. The employee no longer even hears what was said before. "You did that very nicely, and please do it maybe a little differently next time."
I was recently a participant in a training session with some coaching gurus. We also talked about this topic. It was fascinating. We all agreed that replacing "but" with "and" is the recipe for positivity. This has now also entered the mainstream. Do you know what they said about it then? They said, "We no longer just replace "but" with an "and." Instead of an "and," we simply make a period and end the sentence.
That is also nice.
Wonderful. Then I just say, "Christian, you always wear such wonderful white shirts. Period."
"Yes, thanks."
Now you can hear that I noticed that you always wear white shirts. You can draw your own conclusions and consider putting on your Hawaiian shirt for a change. For example, the one you wore last week. Meanwhile, this "and" story is known as a method by some people. This is a technique from the neuro-linguistic programming trick box that has become quite popular. So they said, "We recommend our coaches to shut up more often." I thought that was very cool.
And it doesn't matter if the interviewer knows how I do it and knows my methodology. For example, sometimes I use tricks like this on my daughter. And she catches me and says, "Daddy, I know exactly what you're doing."
Now you again say "and." Okay, I get it.
And it works. It's awesome.
It is a change and it works. Again, a lot of practice, patience, and reflection is required, yet it is worth it. Everyone knows these situations from everyday life. "Honey, on your way back, please bring a bouquet of flowers." It doesn't matter which flowers, as long as it's not Gerberas. And in the end, you hold a bouquet full of Gerberas in your hand because it's the only thing that stuck. It seems almost too easy. I can simply say what I do want, just like in the burger store. "I want tulips, honey. Tulips."
This is Chief of Anything, created by Christian Kohlhoff and Michael Portz. Our podcasts serve the purpose of growing people's skills for great success, excellent business results, and a happy, healthy people culture.
If this podcast is useful for you, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. We love to hear from you, and we are always happy to learn how we can help teams achieve great success or overcome people pains. All contact details are in the show notes. Much success.